How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio, Monday night, May 17th, 2010, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Here to talk about a two-hour Raw that felt longer. Wasn't a horrible show by any means. In fact, there was some real good wrestling on the show and some stuff that wasn't quite so good. And the Impact tapings, which I guess to sum them all up, Sting is the number one contender, and then at the end of the show that he was announced as the number one contender, he got pinned. So I have no idea what's going on, but I guess we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. But
and also the thing with the tapings was that things were taped out of order. We don't know which night things are going to run, and it's going to be like that all week.
Oh, great.
I'm sure it's going to lead to a lot of, it may lead to some continuity issues and things like that.
Yeah, that would, you'd seem to think so based on history, but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt for the time being.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm trying to be a nice guy here. All right, let's we'll tear apart Impact here in a while, but let's start with the Raw show from Monday, hosted by Buzz Aldrin, 80 years old, moved better than Virgil. I'll give him that. And
Virgil looked rough.
Oh man, did Virgil look rough? And he's going to be at the pay per view as well. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Open up with Brett coming out, and they announced that he was challenging tonight for his fifth U.S. title. And he, of course, came out and did his promo and basically said, "I'm not doing this match. You know, I don't need to. I don't want to be remembered as one of those old guys that hung on too long." So Jericho's music hit, and he came out, and essentially he guilt-tripped Brett into accepting the match for later on. And what was interesting about this show, I thought, was I don't know if I missed it or if there was just not a single Bizarro World reference by Jerry Lawler.
There was not a single Bizarro World reference because aside from Edge getting cheered, which they managed to kill right away by having Christian come out, who was just as popular in a babyface, and John Cena getting booed, which was real heavy, but it wasn't like Sheamus was cheered. You know, Sheamus was kind of booed too. So there was like really no point where there was something that they didn't, you know, that they didn't really like happening, aside from the Cena thing. And, you know, they had Cena do his promo backstage, so it wasn't, you know, you could hear the booing and everything, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't making it that bad. And when he was in his match, you know, I mean, the match kept going, and it was what it was. So, yeah, they didn't have to, and there was a lot of interesting stuff in as far as, Lawler and Cole, you know, more Cole, just interesting, you know, I mean, because clearly, Vince, you know, there were a lot of lines that Vince was feeding Cole that I just thought were just really interesting because he really wanted Cole to get on Bret Hart for whatever reason, and I don't really, that Bret Hart-Vince McMahon relationship is the weirdest thing in the world because it's like they're fine with each other. They do business with each other. They want to work with each other. And I mean, I really don't think that, you know, I mean, Vince clearly hasn't forgotten, and it bothers him. You know, tonight was the clear, you know, clearly, because when you have the babyface announcer go after him, and from the Brett standpoint, I don't know. You know,
well,
I don't know
they
where
did put the title on Brett, so
that was weird.
Maybe.
I've got to think that he's going to just, you know, hold it for a week and vacate it next Monday.
You would think, but
you know, I mean, I don't see him going in another match and then losing it. It would, you know, it was hard enough to get through the match tonight with a million people running in.
Maybe Cole's going heel announcer.
The lead announcer?
He's certainly a hell of a lot better as a heel on NXT than he is on this show as a babyface.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't see the Raw announcer, the lead Raw announcer, being the heel because he's, you know, he's the guy who's got to sell the pay-per-views and everything like that.
Yeah, well, there's Lawler to do
and
that.
And the thing is, and he didn't go heel on. It's not like he went heel on Cena.
That's true. It was interesting on this show that there are some Canadian heels that they did not want cheered, and so they put them with other Canadian babyfaces to make sure that everybody got the reaction that they wanted. So Jericho, of course, came out and buried Bret Hart, which assured that Jericho would still get booed. And then Edge had a match tonight, and they gave him Christian, a Canadian babyface, to ensure that he also got booed. So
when Jericho first came out, the place exploded with cheers.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't until he turned on, you know, and he turned on Bret Hart. I thought that Jericho's the Jericho Bret Hart thing in the first 15 minutes was the best thing on the show. I thought Jericho was just tremendous. Bret, you know, was just Bret was pretty much just standing there letting Jericho get on him, and he got a couple of comeback lines, and he did pretty well. But, I mean, I just think that Bret just standing there with that look on his face and that kind of smile and everything was just great in playing off Jericho. I really enjoyed the first, that opening segment. And then, I mean, as far as the rest of the show goes, most of it was, it was more good than bad anyway.
Bret is very good in terms of just reacting to other people. And that's largely what he had to do in that opening segment. And as noted, Jericho guilt-tripped him into doing the match later on. And in fact, he actually did kind of have a match. We'll talk about that in a second. We had Cole taking us to a word from our sponsors here on this commercial-free Raw. It was a Great Khali Geico commercial spoof plugging WWEshop.com with Ed Koski of the creative team as the MC. And it was goofy. They did two of these this evening, and really not much to it, just a way to...
What was weird about this show is it was commercial-free in the United States, but not in Canada, so they had to have commercial breaks for Canada. So it almost like defeated the purpose. That's how they would throw in videos or different segments while they would go to commercials in Canada. It was very strange. It didn't have the feel of that commercial-free show they had last year. I think it'll probably still, just because with nobody tuning out during the commercials, you don't have that drop, so the rating is going to be much higher than usual, and it will mean absolutely nothing. So like tomorrow, I don't know if it'll be a 3.4 or a 3.9 or something, whatever the number turns out to be. Remember last year? In fact, the same exact thing happened last year, and it was a 4.5. It won't be. I don't believe it'll be a 4.5, but everybody's going, oh my God, they turned it around. Wrestling's on a hot swing, and then like 6 days later, they did one of the lowest pay-per-views of the last 10 years. And I don't know. We got the whole pay-per-view lineup, for once.
And we'll run down
the. They got pretty much the whole show done.
Yeah, we'll run down the pay-per-view here at the end. And for those of you that are going to argue about the high rating tomorrow, the 4-5 thread on the board is sticky. You can just go back and read that one tomorrow and save yourself the trouble of recreating the same bad argument again a year later. We had they said that Edge and Orton were going to do a pick-your-poison match tonight, where each guy named an opponent for the other. So Edge came out. His opponent was Christian. They had a pretty damn good match. Christian is... I know you didn't see TC SmackDown yet. And...
I did see SmackDown.
Oh, you did?
I didn't see all of SmackDown, but I did see Christian and Kofi Kingston.
Christian's great.
Oh, Christian's... Yeah, he always has a good match. And actually, I thought the Kofi Kingston match was better than the Edge match.
Yeah, I don't like to compare anybody to Shawn Michaels because it's not fair, but...
He's not Shawn Michaels.
Well, no, but with Shawn Michaels gone, Christian is one of those guys that every show he's on, he's going to have probably the best match on the show. He's
well, but if they
gave
Bryan Danielson 12-minute matches, he would have just as good a match.
Well,
I think.
Unfortunately, they're not going to, and he was not even on the show tonight.
Actually, if they gave Evan Bourne 12-minute matches, he might have a hell of a good matches. Evan Bourne was really good tonight. I mean, him and Zack Ryder really clicked.
Yeah.
Later, so anyway.
So Edge and Christian had a great little match here. And the finish came when Edge sent him shoulder first into the buckle, speared him for the pin. At that point, Orton appeared on the big screen, and he said that he wanted to know why Christian was out there, because that was not the man that he had chosen. And suddenly the Undertaker's music hit. He came down to the ring as, I guess, the real pick-your-poison opponent. Edge got himself counted out. And then Christian came and threw Edge back in, and Undertaker laid him out and walked to the back, and Undertaker flew to Canada and suited up for this spot right here, which, I don't know, I guess life could be worse.
It tells you how bad off Undertaker must be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they bring him back to Raw, and the best they can do is, one chokeslam and not even do a match.
Yeah. So that was that, which actually, later on in the show, I was wondering why the Orton Swagger match didn't end up with Edge saying, I've got another opponent for you, since that would have made sense, but they didn't go that direction. But talk about that.
It was too late in the show by that point.
In a bit, yeah. We had Maryse, I guess, reading about Trish Stratus and not knowing why anybody liked her, and ended up with Eve running in, and they had a huge pull-apart brawl. And
Eve poured baby powder all over her head.
Yeah. You know, on the front page, you've got a listing of the stuff that the folks in Canada did not get a chance to see. I'm going to read over the list right here. You missed all the TV commercial spoofs. You missed this brawl with Maurice and Eve. You missed a segment with Vicky, the Aldrins, the Bellas. And you missed Miz blowing off Josh Matthews and cutting a promo. So really, largely, you missed absolutely nothing. The Miz's promo wasn't too bad, but the rest of the stuff...
The Vicky thing was newsworthy. I mean, it wasn't like it was good. By any means, it wasn't good. But they did say that Vicky is not the general manager of SmackDown, and the new general manager would be announced next week.
The GM of Raw.
Right. I'm sorry, you're right. The GM of Raw will be announced next week.
Because she resigned, which... What a follow-up they had this week. That was the only announcement of it.
Yeah, she tried to say that she didn't really mean it, and she was under duress. And Buzz Aldrin said that he had heard from WWF headquarters, and she's out.
I loved Buzz Aldrin promoting his new iPhone app. I don't know what was so funny about that, but, well, maybe the fact that he's 80, but that was a great little line.
And the fact that the people absolutely crapped all over him.
Yes. Oh, Buzz Aldrin.
When he cut that promo, I mean, him cutting that, you know, him in short doses, it was okay. I mean, the people, I guess, from what I understand, in the building, when they saw the clip of him punching that guy who said the moon landing was fake, and thank God it wasn't Joe Rogan. But
that's right. Joe Rogan would have had, he would have gotten out of the worst end of that fight, poor Buzz Aldrin.
No, I know. He'd have gotten guillotined. But when he did that and they saw that clip, the people kind of liked Buzz Aldrin. But up until they saw that clip, the people were just like, they wanted him out of there. So,
well, they found a good clip to get him over.
We had one celebrity. It wasn't like last week where we had a celebrity and then we had Meatloaf, too.
That's right. Henry came out for a rematch with Batista, had his shoulder all taped up, but Batista jumped him, broke a 2x4 over his shoulder, beat the crap out of him, left him laying, no match. We had another one of those commercial breaks. It was basically a commercial for Truth, and it culminated with them showing the slap that he gave Ted DiBiase, so that feud must continue, which led to Ted coming out with the legitimate Virgil from the 80s. Virgil limped on down to the ring, didn't look good. And
didn't look happy.
No. Stood there
then
and...
Then again, he never looked happy in the 80s.
I was going to say, he should be overjoyed that he's being brought back to television here.
I don't see him lasting very long.
Well,
but
no,
At least he's getting a couple paydays.
He'll get a couple paydays, and he'll be able to drag his name out for autograph sessions again and maybe put three people in line.
That's true, which is his life is going from convention to convention.
Yeah. So anyway, he held the belt and gave the mic to DiBiase after he beat Yoshitatsu. And DiBiase basically said, if I can't buy you Truth, I'm going to beat you. So that hyped up their match.
I thought Yoshitatsu was really good in this match. And it was too bad it was short because they were having a really good match. And he gave Yoshitatsu a lot of offense, and the guy came through. That is a one underutilized guy. I mean, there's a lot of underutilized guys in the company. By the way, because this was not on television, it was in the arena. Primo is now back as a babyface.
Maybe it was just for the evening.
What?
Maybe it was just for the evening.
Maybe. But Carlito wasn't even around.
And he faced Dos Caras Jr.
Who, Primo?
Yeah.
I don't even know who he faced. I just know that he was a babyface.
Yeah, it was. It may have been unmasked because apparently people didn't know who it was, but I think it was Dos Caras Jr.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't even know who it was.
And by the way, since we're on the subject of Ted DiBiase, Ted DiBiase Sr. is on Figure Four Daily tomorrow. So everybody make sure to check that one out because that'll probably be a pretty fun show. We'll ask him about Virgil being back on TV in 2010.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't do that thing about that. Every time.
Oh, no.
For 23 years now. God, it's been 23 years. Anyway. And he did it like over the weekend again. He always pulls out this story about me. It's not like it's a negative one. It just never happened. But he thinks it did. So
a story about you.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. When he went in 87, when Mid-South Wrestling was sold to Jim Crockett, he had a chance to go to Jim Crockett or he could go to WWE. He had the choice to go to one or the other. and he chose to go to WWE, and they made him the million-dollar man, and he had a great, you know, had a really great run, and it was the right choice. And he said that at the time, I didn't understand why he went to WWE, but he knew that it was the right choice. But the thing is, at the time, I said he should go to WWE. And and whenever I see him, he always goes, I know that you didn't understand why I went to WWE. Here's why. He would always tell me this. And I would go, but I thought you should go to WWE at the time because it was the right place for you to go. But and just this last weekend, he was at some convention somewhere. They said, and someone told me, he goes, you didn't think it wasn't like it was anything negative, but no, it came out of nowhere. And he just goes, you know, when I came, Dave Meltzer said he didn't think I should go to WWE, but that was the place for me to go. So if he brings up that subject, just let him tell the story. I don't care.
I was going to say, I'm going to tell him that you said he shouldn't go to WWE. What are his thoughts on that?
You probably should.
That's right.
If you do, he'll definitely talk then.
Got a loaded question now.
Yeah, really.
So we had Miz come out and came down to the ring for the match with Brett. They announced, by the way, in the opening segment, it's a no DQ match, which they always have to do when Brett's wrestling. So he said that Miz, this is, did a promo saying that I know you've probably got your goons back there, so I've got some guys to keep an eye on them. And out came Regal and Kozlov. So the Hearts immediately came through the crowd, and they brawled with those guys. And then Jericho got in the ring, and the two heels cornered Brett. And who should
Jericho
make the save?
Jericho kicked Brett in the stomach, and Brett's old for a minute.
Yeah, first Natalya hit the ring, and she slapped Jericho. And then Miz went after. Brett punched Miz. Jericho punched Brett. Brett went down. Harry hit the ring and went after.
It may have been a punch, but it was to the gut.
To the gut, yeah.
Take any shots to the head.
Yeah. So yeah. Harry hit the ring, went after Jericho. Miz laid out Harry, led to Miz and Brett in the ring together. And Miz gave him one kick to the side, set up the sharpshooter, and then Tyson wiped him out with a flying dropkick, which was actually terrifying because I thought, my God, don't land on Bret Hart. And
it was a springboard dropkick.
Yeah. He came close, but he didn't land on him. So he laid him out, and then the Hearts hit the heart attack. Bret put Miz in the sharpshooter. Miz tapped. Bret is, in fact, a 5-time United States champion here in Toronto and left with the belt. I guess this was supposedly his final night in the company, but apparently not now.
He's got to be back next week.
Yeah. So,
based on what he said, he must be partying on Yonge Street right about now.
He must be. So much for Bryan Danielson winning the title for Miz here as a replacement for Bret Hart.
I wonder who's going to get the title next.
I don't know.
Maybe they'll have a tournament and Bryan Danielson will win the tournament.
I suppose
probably,
they can do that, why not play up Danielson and Miz while you're at it, just out of curiosity.
Right. Maybe that's gone bye-bye.
Very well could have.
I mean, there was certainly no mention of Bryan Danielson today, and, you know.
No. And this is I guess officially, if it's a special Raw, whether it be a 3-hour show, a non-commercial show, whatever, that means it's a non-draft show as well, or a non-brand-specific show. So SmackDown guys can appear on Raw and such, and I don't know where Bryan Danielson's supposed to be, but he sure wasn't on this show.
He's going to have to be on Raw because Miz is on Raw.
Yeah.
They're going to do anything with it.
Or they dropped it.
Yeah, unless they dropped it cold, yeah.
We'll find out tomorrow a little more, probably. We had Maryse and Layla and Michelle against Eve and the Bellas. Now, I don't know if they're... I presume that they must be building up some sort of storyline, but according to WWE.com, Layla is the women's champion, but Michelle carried the belt to the ring, held the belt.
They both had belts. They had dual belts.
Oh, is that what they had?
No, they both have belts, and they are both the champion.
So they made a second,
They always have two. They always have two belts because they have the belt that you go on the road with, and they have the belt that they use for television. So there's always two belts anyway.
I see.
But the point is that they're doing a storyline where there are two champions, and they will both be defending the championship because it was a handicap match, and they both won the match.
I see.
So that's
the
storyline, which I think is that's like right out of TNA.
I was spending so much time trying to figure out why Layla had the belt that I didn't even notice the other belt, or why Michelle had the belt. So I guess Layla had the belt too. Now I know. Two belts, everybody. Well, there you go. So anyway, they had a match. It was bad. Nikki got the hot tag. Maryse pinned her.
Nikki tried.
She tried, but...
Yeah, the match...
Nah.
The match was kind of a mess, but you know, there were some decent spots.
Layla was awesome in this match. Now that I think about it.
What?
Layla was really good in this match.
Layla's really good. You know, I noticed it like about 6 months ago, it was last summer maybe when I was at a live show, and I noticed a couple more times at TV tapings. Layla's one of those people that's much better live than on television. Like on TV, she's just. I mean, I know she's you know, her matches are better and like personality wise she's real good, but when you actually watch her work when the camera's not on her, she's really a good she's like in a sense the best worker in the company when it comes to the women as far as like all around performer. I think I'm not saying like skill wise and doing moves like you know she can't wrestle you know anywhere close to Natalya or Beth Phoenix even, but as far as being like a performer, I mean she's really good.
She did do great with Eve, and she did great with Brie. And then once Nikki tagged in, then the match died. That's my final answer right there. But yeah, so anyway, Maryse got the win, and that was that.
Yeah, DDT'd on Nikki.
Yeah. Josh interviewed Cena, and Cena did a babyface promo talking about how he was going to defeat Sheamus tonight to make sure that Sheamus did not interfere Sunday. And for the record, he failed. And also announced that if the reason he put in the no rematch stip if he lost to Dave was because if he quit on Sunday, he did not deserve to be the champion. The champion should not be a quitter. And he vowed to win. I thought that was interesting because
I think he promised to win.
Probably did. I was just thinking it's 2010 and it's still like in WWE considered an embarrassment to tap out.
Yeah, well, only for John Cena.
I guess so.
Only the top babyface.
And we'll actually get to that here at the end of the show. But Orton against Jack Swagger had a pretty good match. Orton's getting better at being a babyface. Doesn't look like he hates it quite as much. Maybe he's starting to realize it's not so bad if you're in there with a good heel. So he made a comeback, hit the draping DDT, went for the RKO, Edge hit the ring, DQ, horrible finish. And in the melee, Orton gave Swagger the RKO, Edge speared him out of his boots, and that was the end of that. Buzz Aldrin came out, 80 years old, and started talking about how he'd been working on making the space program better for 30 years. So 30 wasted years of his life, by the way.
Oh, he was talking about, shouldn't it be 40 years? 41 years.
Yeah. Time flies when you're Buzz Aldrin. it's relativity. He went to the moon and back.
Our president, which is funny because he was in Canada doing this, that our president is like behind, you know, getting the space program back going again, and we should support our president.
Which is actually funny because Neil Armstrong is on record saying he thinks his program sucks.
Yeah, well.
So maybe we could do Neil versus Buzz at Fully Loaded, or whatever this pay-per-view is called. Which one is
over
this
the
again?
Limit.
That's
loaded.
Right, Over the Limit, sorry. Even, yeah. So, anyway, he did this little promo, and out came Zack Ryder and Alicia Fox, who are apparently together now. And he buried Buzz. They showed the footage of him punching Bart Sabrell, who was the guy that questioned him about the moon landing being real. And they had footage. It was something else. And Evan Bourne, Gail Kim ran out. They had a match. Gail, of course, being from Toronto, pinned Alicia. And then Buzz hopped in the ring, and he did something that they called the moonwalk afterwards, which was mostly him just walking backwards. And
that's the Michael Hayes moonwalk.
Michael Hayes.
The Michael Jackson moonwalk. The Michael Hayes stole.
Yes. So anyway, that was the match.
Out of the early 80s.
Yep. Yep.
What the hell? I thought Evan Bourne was freaking great, though.
he was pretty damn good in this match.
I mean, he was really great tonight. There, I mean, him and Yoshitatsu, I mean, it'll never do him any good, but damn, those guys were good tonight.
Two underutilized men here in this promotion.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other one who was really good was Christian, and he lost too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Evan got the win, but yeah.
Cena and Sheamus had I don't necessarily say pay per view caliber, but they had pay per view caliber time for this particular main event, at least with no commercials. went a long ass time, and
wasn't that long. You just I think that it may have just dragged for you.
Well, that could have been as well.
It was only 9 minutes. Which
really? Oh my god!
TV Maine, that's not necessarily all that long.
Well, I guess not. Without the commercials, it seemed a hell of a lot longer. So finish was Cena went for the RKO and Sheamus grabbed the rope, so Cena just dumped him outside and Batista ambushed him. For the, DQ. It'd be one thing if you had this stupid finish in one match on the show, but they had it in two matches. And I realize you don't want to beat certain people before the pay-per-view, but if that's the case, don't make the matches then. Because having two finishes like this, it wasn't two matches in a row, but, I mean, it was two matches in the same hour. It just, that finish just came off really bad. So, Dave...
And this was the one, this was the match where you could have, where this finish was... You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the thing is in both cases, it was the exact same thing, too, because what you had was the guy was, you know, the baby face was about to beat the heel. He was right about to do his move. The heel he's facing on the pay-per-view runs in and lays him out. So you had the exact same scenario, two straight matches.
Yeah.
Or two out of three matches.
Two out of three, yeah. And then, last week, they did the deal where Batista put Mark Henry in... I guess it was a crossface. It was kind of a Rings of Saturn tonight. But regardless, Mark Henry, this was to build up I Quit. Mark Henry never said I Quit. And then This show ended with Batista putting Cena in the hold. And Cena was stuck in the hold for like 30 seconds. And he also refused to say I Quit. And that's how they went off the air. And I thought, hey, and exactly how did you build up this I Quit match for Sunday? No one has quit yet.
Yeah.
I have no idea
but
what's going on.
But I think the idea is that Batista has a finishing hold that doesn't work.
Great!
But that's what we're going to build around.
Great! Wow, this pay-per-view is going to do great business.
Yeah.
Let's look at the lineup for this show here. We'll go to WWE.com and see what they've got up there officially. If there's anything...
Oh, I pretty much know it, but...
Yeah. WWE...
Thank God I finally have a pay-per-view where I actually know without having to look it up.
That's right.
I think that, if nothing else, I think they've done a good job of promoting these matches, or at least a decent job.
We've got John Cena versus Batista in an I Quit match, where nobody has quit in all of the build-up leading to the match. Got Jack Swagger versus Show.
Cena made Batista quit at WrestleMania, though, which is never brought up because, you know, that's not supposed to have anything to do with this match.
Yeah. We had Jack Swagger versus The Big Show for the World Heavyweight title.
I think they're going to have a really sucky finish in that match.
Probably that would be a good guess.
I mean, they've done it at the house shows, and the house show finish is just, you know, belt shot DQ.
Well, wouldn't be surprised to see that repeated here. We had Drew McIntyre versus Kofi for the Intercontinental title. We've got Rey Mysterio versus Punk in... Hair match versus Ray having to join the Straight Edge Society. And if they plan on keeping this going, which I think they do, then probably Ray is going to be in the society for a little while here.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're supposed to keep it going until SummerSlam.
Yeah. We've got Randy Orton versus Edge, which hopefully will be a good match. Hart Dynasty versus Jericho and Miz, which should be good.
Should be a title change, too.
Yeah. Eve against Maurice.
Which should be short.
Should be short, yeah. And R-Truth versus Ted DiBiase with Virgil at ringside. So that's your big lineup for the pay-per-view on Sunday. Let's...
Okay, so now here. Okay.
All right.
Will the UFC show beat them by 7 times?
Oh, let me think about it. By 7 times?
Yeah, because somebody goes, like, I should do a poll on, like, you know, what's going to happen. I go, well, my poll's going to have to be, will they win by 7 times or not?
All right, let's see. I'm still predicting 1 million divided by 7. That's 142,000 buys. Oh, yeah. They'll beat him by 7 times.
You don't think this is doing 142?
Nah, I bet right around 135, 140.
Okay. I don't. Seven times.
Boy, that would be sad.
Ooh. I think it's going to be a close call.
Boy, that would be sad.
Okay, how about Dean Ambrose beat him by 50 times?
I was going to say, let me see if I can do the math here. What's
50 times.
1 million.
He'll beat him by 50, maybe 55.
What was it? Oh, it was a TNA pay-per-view we just watched this weekend?
Yeah.
See, I've already forgotten about it. So I would say that show does 15,000 buys, and I'm being very generous, probably. 66 times!
66 times? Okay.
That's my prediction for that. Let's look at these Impact spoilers from Orlando. Bischoff comes out, announces the top 10 rankings. Sting is number one. Don't know how.
Yeah.
The top 10 is...
He beat Jeff Jarrett in 12 seconds. I think that's... Has he won another match besides that in, like, the last several months?
No, and RVD pinned him in 30 seconds the last time they wrestled.
RVD pinned him in a couple of seconds. Yeah, that was a ways back.
Yeah.
Did he even do any other matches?
I don't think he's done any. Could be wrong. I don't have my...
He's done a bunch of run-ins.
There's no TNA SureDog site where I can go up and get everyone's win-loss records. The top 10, by the way, from 10 down to 1. Number 10 is Samoa Joe.
Well, he got really mad, but he's been kidnapped for months, so he really didn't have a right to get that mad.
I'm not even sure if he's won a match since he came back. Has he? Has he had a match?
No, but he's laid out some people in run-ins. But you're right. No, I don't think he's won a match either.
All right.
So he's very lucky that he's number 10 ahead of... there were some, like, good people that were, like, not even on that list. You know, like, not, you know, I don't know. The Band.
Sure. Number 9 is Rob Terry, who then proceeds to lose to Orlando Jordan. So I don't know if that drops him down the list here. We've got number 8, Desmond Wolfe, who last time we checked the poll was still running away with first place.
Well, they scrapped that poll and they put in a new poll. And Jeff Hardy's now winning because it's you know, they're bound and determined to figure out how these people are voting over and over again and have a real poll, which if they do, Jeff Hardy will win every time.
Yeah. Number 7 is the Pope, who has been injured since the last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Number 6 is Abyss, who no one voted for in the poll.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Mr. Anderson.
Has he won a match?
He lost to Kurt Angle.
He lost to Jeff Hardy.
He lost to Jeff Hardy, so yeah.
Oh, by the way, and he is officially now a babyface.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Right. Saves Jeff Hardy tonight.
That's right. I'll have to read more of that here in a second. Number 4 is Jeff Hardy. Number 3 is AJ. Number 2 is Kurt Angle, who also hasn't been around in a month. And number 1 is Sting. So.
And Kurt then said that he doesn't deserve to be in the top 10.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We have Roxy beating Madison Rayne in a non-title match.
I think that was ODB's spot, but she ran her mouth on her Twitter. She ran her Twitter.
And, oh, man.
You know.
Ran her beak.
You cannot do this. I don't say this. I say this all the time. Do not be freaking stupid if you're a wrestler, okay? Just don't be stupid. Tell your friends that the promotion sucks. Tell your friends that, you know, tell the other wrestlers that it sucks. But don't tell frickin' the world on Twitter, because if you do that, you're going to be frickin' future endeavored or buried or something. People who are on the creative team, I mean, they are thin-skinned. Well, I don't say thin-skinned. They are vindictive as shit. They frickin' ran Steve Austin. Think about this. WWE's creative team ran Steve Austin out, and how many times have guys been punished by TNA's creative team? Over and over and over again. Do not be Matt Hardy. Okay, that's my advice for all aspiring TNA wrestlers.
That's good advice for anybody in the world. No offense to Matt Hardy or anything, but we had Jay Lethal and RV.
Actually, I meant offense to Matt Hardy. Do not be this person.
Trying to be nice about it here. Jay Lethal and RVD beat Beer Money, and then Sting attacked RVD, and Jeff Hardy made the save. All right, we've got... Abyss comes out, and he demands his prize, who is Chelsea. And Wolf and Chelsea come out with their bags. Wolf has a bottle. He breaks it. He cuts open Abyss. And this leads to Chelsea feeling bad for the monster. I guess we'll see where that one goes. Eric Young beat Shannon.
Abyss comes back and lays him out with a black hole slam.
I didn't see that part here.
Oh, well, he does. I just want to let you know that.
Oh, great. So they busted the guy open up with the beer bottle, but he still hit his move.
Yeah, and then he carries Chelsea to the back on his shoulders.
Eric Young beats Shannon Moore after Bubba Ray got involved because he's mad at the youngsters. And then Devon comes out, and he's upset with Ray for being upset with the youngsters. That's apparently the storyline there.
And also, Kevin Nash interferes in the match, too.
All right.
And probably Jesse Neal and maybe Scott Hall interfere as well. But if they don't interfere, they distract.
We've got Kazarian winning an X Division Rankings Battle Royal. So he's, again, the number one contender.
Yeah.
He beat Red, Max Buck, Alex Shelley, Jeremy Buck, Chris Sabin, Homicide, and Brian Kendrick. Homicide's back.
Yeah, well, just as a body in the Battle Royal. Generation Me, I think that their contract was up as of tonight, and I don't know that they're getting renewed.
So they had a one-month contract?
It was like a certain number of dates.
I see.
And this tonight was the final number. And I mean, again, they may get renewed, but the impression I was given was that they're not getting renewed.
I hope they renew Brian Kendrick because he just lost a Loser Leaves Town match at Dragon Gate.
Yeah. No, they signed him for a long-term contract right before the Dragon Gate match.
All right, good. And then we've got Jeff Hardy beating Sting, who's the number one contender. So this is not pick six rules, I guess. And Anderson gave Sting the mic check, and then Sting laid them both out. So
with a baseball bat, yeah, after he got pinned, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess so,
they're not doing King of the Mountain, they're gonna do it RVD against Sting as the main event at Slammiversary.
Now hold on. Didn't they I thought you said that last night the whole idea of Sting and Jarrett was because Sting had a shoulder injury, but then he worked tonight?
Sting's got a shoulder injury, yeah. I mean he probably did minimal in the match.
I guess so. So yeah, there you go.
Sting, you know what? Sting wasn't a tag match where he pinned Jarrett. Remember when he hit him with a baseball bat on the stairs on TV a couple weeks ago? Although I don't know that a tag match should count in your singles rankings, but he did have at least one match.
That's right. That match where Jarrett was a complete idiot and just left the ring and went after Sting and got beat up as a result.
That really terrible match that they edited like all these minutes out of that were the worst minutes, and then it was still bad anyway.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen those missing minutes.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some of the questions here. This person says, guys, great show. Keep up the great work. My question is on Raw during the Edge versus Christian match. Just before he attempted the flying head, he pointed to the sky. My guess this was a tribute to Benoit since they were in Canada. I don't think so. That's what it was right there. Perhaps Stu Hart? Yeah, I don't think that was a tribute to Chris Benoit.
No, I mean, I don't.
Or maybe he was just pointing that I'm going to go to the top rope.
Probably.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. All right. This person wants to know if we like Jericho's band Fozzy. I've heard very little, if any, Fozzy, actually. Except on when he did that concert on Raw, which did not work live.
I have like a Fozzy CD. This was from about a year or two ago. And one of the I liked one of the songs he did the music. You know, I think I got a music video of it, too. I liked one of the music videos he did. That was really good. This is many years ago. But I wouldn't have gotten, maybe the last two or so that he's released I haven't gotten. So it was one of the early ones. The band is very good, you know, and he's a good performer. So his singing has gotten better as the years have gone by. So anyway, I thought they're all right. Even good.
This person wants to know, what's the Mountie been up to lately?
That's a really good question. He still promotes independent shows in Montreal. It's family-friendly wrestling. It's really interesting because he did something recently which I've never heard of a promoter doing. He ran like two shows, like maybe an afternoon and evening show in the same building, which actually is done all the time. But when advertising the shows ahead of time, he said that these two shows will be identical, so you don't need to buy tickets to both shows, which I've never heard of a promoter do. But he did that.
How about that?
And there were old timers in Montreal were going like, you know, like, God, Jacques exposing the business. like here we are in 2010. But they did. That's what they were saying. And Tom Lawler was considering using Jacques' theme song, but instead he came out to he came out as Apollo Creed instead of Jacques Rougeau.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
This person wants to know, does Raw have more viewers on the East Coast or the West Coast? Well, there's more people on the East Coast, so...
East Coast.
That's your answer, yeah. All right. Oh, this person's got questions for DiBiase. We'll skip that one for now. This person says, I've always been told the Austin 316 shirt was the best-selling shirt in WWF, WWE history. Is this true? How do the sales of merchandise today, seen as orange shirt, Ray's masks, compare to those of the late 90s?
Probably nowhere close.
Yeah.
I mean, you would go in public and see Austin 316 and NWO shirts everywhere in like 98-ish. And I mean, I never see anything in public because I do see John Cena stuff in public every now and then, but nothing like in those years. And I do see kids with Mysterio stuff every now and then, but again, yeah, nothing. It couldn't even be close. I mean, wrestling's just nowhere near as popular as it was then.
This person wants to know, for what reason is Fedor still considered number one in the world? Seems to me his last fight against a genuine talent was Krokop in 2005. Since then, he's fought middleweights, freak shows.
Oh, God.
I think what you need to do is you need to Google Dana White and Ariel Helwani, and there's a great debate between the two of them, and Dana will answer your question, most likely. Or maybe Ariel will.
Here's the thing. I mean, the Fedor thing is hilarious, because what you have is Fedor zealots that are just freaking insane, you know, and they're going to, like, go on mass suicide watch when he finally loses. And then you got, you know, people who will, you know, just try to discredit him. Fedor is the best MMA fighter of all time. I'm not saying he's the most skilled or even necessarily the most impressive, but he's gone so long without losing. And he has fought some good people, just not lately. Let's see, who's he fought lately? Brett Rogers is... okay. Didn't look so, you know, he got in trouble. I mean, but before that, it was Arlovsky, who, you know, was, I don't know what to say. I mean, Andre Arlovsky, I have thought Andre Arlovsky has been super overrated for like years and years. But there were people who, like, when Andre Arlovsky fought Fedor, if you look at the rankings, you know, he was like ranked number two or something like that, you know. So it's like Fedor beat the number two guy, and it's like, frickin' Andre Arlovsky would get killed by these guys in UFC. He got beat by Bigfoot Silva. My God, you know? He got beat by Brett Rogers in like 12 seconds. But whatever. And then who was the guy he beat before that? Tim Sylvia? You know? He massacred Tim Sylvia. Vader's, you know, he hits really hard. He's calm under pressure. He's an awesome fighter. And I would think that Fedor would be favored against any UFC fighter if he fought him. But that's, you know, if he went through, you know, with this crop of UFC guys, you know, he would beat a lot of these guys. I think he would beat a lot of these guys, but I think that I don't think there's going to be anyone, if you go through those top six or five or six UFC guys, I don't think there's anyone who's going to go through all six of them. I don't think Lesnar can go through all six of them. I don't think Kane can go through all six of them. I think one of them will catch Carwin. You know what I mean? It's just... Too many guys hit too hard and are too big. But you know, the thing is if you say Fedor is not number one, and there's a real rational argument in the sense that, you know, he hasn't been fighting the top guys. But at the same time, then who is number one? Lesnar? I mean, Lesnar hasn't, you know, fought in a year. And, you know, Lesnar only has four wins. So who's number one? It can't be Frank Mir. Kane hasn't, you know, can't be number one. Kane's in the running. Carwin needs, you know, at least, you know, if he beats Lesnar, then you could say, well, Carwin has beaten Lesnar and Mir, which would be impressive. And he's got all those first round wins, which is, you know, just the fact that he's got them all. You know, I mean, you know, even though like not all of them are top guys, actually most of them aren't top guys. The fact is the way he's blitzed through people, you know, it's pretty impressive. But I think that Fedor's number one as much because nobody else has really fully been... There's no George St. Pierre on the UFC side. You know, Brock really isn't that yet. He could be, but you need to string together more straight wins. If Brock beats, like, if Brock would go through and beat Carwin, and then he would go beat Cain Velasquez, and then he goes beating Junior Dos Santos, and Fedor's doing whatever the hell he's doing, then Brock will be number one if he wins those three, I would think. And I think most people would say that by that point. unless Fedor beats Overeem, in which case then you got a big debate.
Or we just go with the bottom line that the ratings don't matter at all.
Yeah, they don't. They don't mean a thing.
They don't mean a thing.
Some fighters, they do.
Well, I mean, to the fighters, they might, but in the grand scheme of the fighting business, they mean absolutely nothing.
They mean absolutely nothing, and you're right. And because the guys don't fight each other. And how do you rate Alistair Overeem anyway?
Yeah.
You know, other than ahead of Brett Rogers.
You rate him as intimidating.
Yeah.
Couple more here. This person was reading an old figure four. He wants to know if Ivan Szczesny is the same as Krzysztof and if he was trained by Don Callis. The answer is yes. Don Callis trained Krzysztof Szczesny for pro wrestling, and then Krzysztof went into MMA, and the rest is history.
Krzysztof had never been in a fight. He had never trained. He'd never trained in amateur wrestling. He was a bodybuilder who got into pro wrestling, and while he was doing indies in Canada, he met Bad News Allen, who taught him the dreaded Kimura, and he just loved shooting. He just loved what Bad News Allen taught him, so he went and got an MMA. That's the story.
One more here. Who came up with the idea for the Brawl for All, and why did Dan Severn pull out of the tournament?
Brawl for All, from what I was told, was Vince Russo. And as far as why Dan Severn pulled out, he didn't look all that good, and he was very frustrated by the fact that he had to wear those gloves, and that once he took a guy down, he had to let him back up. He said later that he was told by management to pull out because they wanted Steve Williams to win. And Dan was the one guy who they thought could beat Steve Williams. So that's what Dan has said about it. You know, I certainly never heard that at the time. At the time, I heard that Dan and Ken Shamrock both, at first when they started the Brawl for All, the whole thing, the deal was is that Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock would not be in it. And then, like days before, like literally days before the thing was going to start, they told Dan Severn and Ken Shamrock to be in it, and Ken Shamrock said, "I'm not trained for it, I'm not doing it." And Dan Severn did the one match with Charles Wright and took him down like 400 times. And it was amazing because he just would keep taking him down. And then Jerry Lawler, who obviously like knows nothing about amateur wrestling, and you know, and why should he? Jerry Lawler goes, "That's not a takedown. That's not a takedown." He just kept taking him down over and over again. And he won the match. And all the guys backstage were rooting for Charles Wright. They just thought it would be so cool for him to, like, you know, knock out Dan Severn. And they were just getting pissed because, you know, they would have, like, an exchange, and Charles Wright would do real good, and then Dan Severn would just take him down at will, you know, over and over and over again for the whole fight. And then, anyway, Dan Severn Dan Severn pulled out. And Charles Wright ended up getting hurt. I think he got knocked out by Bart Gunn, probably. But I know he was one of the guys who got hurt. A bunch of guys got hurt in that one, which is why we will never see that ever again.
Yes.
What a disaster that turned out to be.
A complete disaster.
In every way. I mean, the people didn't really like it. I mean, it did have, you know, the Bart Gunn, Steve Williams knockout is one of the most memorable moments in history. And they always replay the Bart Gunn knockout at the hands of Butterbean before WrestleMania because it was so spectacular. But that was kind of an embarrassment. You know, I mean, you build your guy up, you tell everyone how tough he is, you know what I mean? And then he goes in there and this outside, you know, nobody. I mean, not that Butterbean was a nobody. That's not fair to say. But Butterbean is not a boxer. I mean, Butterbean was a gimmick. And they, you know, they actually thought that Bart could beat him, and Butterbean just destroyed Bart Gunn, and poor Bart Gunn. I mean, that winning that tournament was his curse because he got killed by Butterbean, and then they cut him. And although he ended up having a nice career in Japan for many years off of that.
And that's going to do it for today, everybody. We're going to be back on Wednesday night with a new edition of Wrestling Observer Radio. Tomorrow, of course, Ted DiBiase is going to be on the show. Got a new back issue of The Observer up. If you've not checked it out yet, do so immediately. It's the bio of Kerry Von Erich after he passed away in 1993. It's up on the front page right now. It's an excellent read. Dave's got some great feedback on it in the last day or so. So make sure you check that one out. New issue of Figure Four out tonight. New issue of The Observer out tomorrow. So tons of content. Check it out. And we'll talk to you again after a while.